Welcome to TalkErie.com's Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast. Every day, we tackle the biggest issues that the Erie, PA region faces. Stay informed and involved as we advance the narrative of Erie. Now, here's Joel Natale.
On the phone with us is Karen Ryan. She is the Director of Educational Services for Erie's Public Schools. Karen, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Jeff, for having me.
All righty. So, let me just share a little bit the first sentence from the Go Erie article from November 29th. Valerie Myers writing, Erie School District students are gaining academic ground. And so last time you were on the show here, you mentioned that you have a really granular way of tracking student success. And those numbers are going up. The lines are going to their favor. So talk about the background about all of that.
Sure. So we're pretty excited. We just recently got our PVAS data, which is growth data. So in the state of Pennsylvania, they really use two different types of data to gauge how students are progressing. The first kind that most of us are pretty familiar with is kind of the traditional end-of-year summative assessment. That's the PSSA exam that all kids are given starting in third grade in Pennsylvania, and that goes third through eighth, and then there's the Keystone exams in high school. So that exam is based on end-of-year expectations. And so regardless of where a student comes in, whether they're a lower performing student, an average student, or a high student, their student achievement is based on this end of year exam. The PVAS scores are a little bit different. The PVAS scores measure growth. And what that allows us to do is it allows us to see the growth or progress that students are making over the course of the school year, and really allows a school district, along with that other type of data, to really look and say, how effective is the instruction that our students are receiving? How effective is that instruction for them over the course of the year? And we were very excited to see large numbers of our students exceeding the growth expectations in our latest data.
All right. So do you operate from a baseline, though? It's so cool to hear that they were actually making beyond a year growth. But, were we starting from a baseline that was at grade level, or was it less than grade level? Talk about how that works.
Sure. So the growth data isn't just for students that are not performing yet at grade level. All students in Pennsylvania and all districts receive growth scores.
Okay.
So regardless of whether a student is a low-performing student, a mid-performing, or high-performing student, we want that student to make gains over the course of the school year. And what PVAS does is PVAS looks at all the students in Pennsylvania that start at similar points at the beginning of the year, right? Mm. And what it does is it compares the growth of students starting at the same point. It compares their growth to the same kind of student, whether it's high, mid, or above, and allows districts to see how those groups of students are performing. And so in Pennsylvania, it kind of looks like the rainbow, right?
Yeah.
If you see red, the students fell behind. Yellow, they fell behind. If your growth is green, it means that students maintain. So where they came in throughout the course of the school year, they had that steady pattern of growth over the school year, and they maintained, that same position and where they were. When you get into light blue or dark blue, there's significant evidence that the students gained in regards to, their progress. So we really want to see light blue and dark blue, because we really want our students to grow more than what's expected over the course of a school year.
All right. So you explained to us that leading up to this PVAS assessment, that you guys were able to kind of manage the play-by-play, if you will. And were you seeing, as you looked at the short-term wins, that that the outcomes were coming to in your favor?
Well, we know that schools, the schools, the leaders, the instructional leadership teams, the teachers are working incredibly hard. And what this does is validate that, the hard work that they're doing at the schools is leading to improved performance for our students. So our schools have been working really hard with curriculum implementation. We started adopting new curricular materials right around the time that the pandemic hit, probably right prior to, and then even throughout the course of the pandemic, we maintained a curriculum refresh cycle, which was kind of tough when we were in virtual instruction. But we knew that if we were able to utilize these curricular materials well, that we would be providing our students with access to, you know, rigorous grade level work very consistently. So the school teams are working really hard to do that. I think having our students back in front of us in our schools is making a huge difference. We know that students learn best when they're within the schools, when they have, you know, that immediate feedback and reinforcement. And we know that we've also over the last year really worked to ramp up our student services. And so the pandemic had a lot of impact on students' social and emotional wellness. And so, you know, students are able to take advantage of these student services to help remove barriers to learning. So we think all of these pieces coming together are really kind of creating that atmosphere for, you know, continuous improvement.
Go back to that last one there, because we've had a lot of conversations with Superintendent Polito and so on about his goal of having student support in every building, of needing to basically have an all hands on deck situation as far as manpower. You know, from where you stand as far as the, you know, in regards to educational services, are you hitting your marks on the manpower in? And is it, you know, is it a situation where if you build it, they will come, that you're actually getting success from that extra manpower that's on board?
I think, you know, we in the last year, Sherry Prater came on as director of student services. We've definitely added manpower as far as, you know, counselors, mental health, behavioral support. We have every one of our K-8 schools is now a community school. Mm-hmm. And so there's been a lot of student supports added to the building. And again, everything is being brought in because we know that, you know, if kids are supported well, if families are supported well, the achievement will come. And so, you know, in addition to all of those supports, you know, we've been able to maintain the class size reduction, and we've been able to continue with curriculum implementation, making sure that teachers have the tools that they need. And so I think it's the combination of all of those things that really are helping us, you know, continue to progress forward.
I want to take my break early because I want you to maybe dive into the data a little bit and show show some of the subjects where you've seen significant increases or, you know, maybe this ability to kind of, you know, learn more from this growth testing that's happening here. Karen, I want to get to individual subjects now, and there's some leading indicators as you look at these tests and you're measuring growth. Talk about the leading indicators of of reading and math, you know, that kind of lead to better outcomes, maybe in science and so on.
Sure. So, you know, the students start off taking these assessments in third grade, and they take the reading and mathematics assessments in third grade, and then science is added in fourth grade, and then in fifth, sixth, and seventh, it's just reading and math, and in eighth grade, they take science again, and then when they get into high school, they get into the Keystone exams, which are, you know, kind of course-ending exams with Algebra 1, Biology, and Literature. So You know, when it comes to PFAS, you never see PFAS information in grade three because it's the first time that students are testing. And PFAS really results from having students take assessments over time so that you can see and have a comparison of where they started and how they grew. And so, you know, really what we're seeing, and it's pretty exciting, is when we're looking at our PFAS data, kind of the average across the growth for 4 through 8, the color that we got is a dark blue, which indicates that there's significant evidence that the district exceeded the growth standard, wow, which is awesome. That's kind of the very best that you can get. And even on the graph, there's like a little bump out because it's an indicator that the growth index extends past the graph. So we're pretty excited about that. So in math, we saw that dark blue in every grade except for sixth grade. And in sixth grade, we had a maintain, but it was just short of the light blue. In English language arts, again, we saw dark blue in grades 5, 6, 7, and 8, and kind of the average was the dark blue. And in fourth grade, our kiddos met the growth or maintained the growth index, which is okay, but we really like to see, you know, that significant evidence that the district exceeded the growth standard. In fourth grade science, that's an area of challenge for us, mm-hmm, because there's nothing really to compare because the students haven't taken a science assessment prior to. They utilize the students' reading and math scores in a formula that they really can't explain to get our growth index in fourth grade science, and we have some work to do there, and we know that we're working hard in the reading and math. We're about to enter into kind of a new curriculum cycle also in elementary and middle school science. So we're really kind of looking forward to digging in and looking at more how to improve that. In eighth grade science, we exceed growth standards again. And we know at the high school level, you know, we're working really hard. We're having some growth issues right now in Keystone algebra and literature. We saw some nice growth in Keystone biology, but we know at the high school level, we have some work to do there. And we definitely saw some improved growth in Keystone biology. So really delving in and seeing what's working really well in that content and in that subject matter with our students there, because we want to replicate that and the good practices that are happening there, hopefully to improve the algebra and literature scores.
You know, we talked before the break about student support, but seeing this kind of significant growth makes me wonder if the approaches are different. We talked about that there's new curriculum. But, I mean, is this a new, I hate to use the word, I really don't understand, but is this a new pedagogy? You know, is there a new thinking about how we're teaching kids in an urban setting like this?
I think for sure, you know, we're working hard, and we're always, our teachers are so dedicated, they're so hardworking, they're always working to try to figure out how to best provide the environment and the situations for our students to be successful. I think the new curriculum pieces provide our teachers the tools so that they can spend time concentrating on, you know, how they're going to bring these lessons to life versus looking for the materials to do so. So it really provides them, you know, that standards aligned material, but our teachers bring it to life. For our students. They engage our students in the learning. So I think just with us being kind of out of the financial crisis with the school board's dedication to, you know, having the proper materials in all of our students and our teachers' hands, we're able to have in front of our students wonderful curricular materials that, you know, they didn't have for many years because of the budget issues.
I'm not sure. You know, even after, as we heard, you know, the crisis and we had to consolidate schools and so on, I'm not sure people really understood the lengths that the room teacher was going through in order to teach the class they've been assigned. I mean, they were literally downloading stuff from the internet. They were searching. They were looking in, looking in their trades. I mean, that's how critical it got, didn't it, Karen?
Well, I mean, we were using textbooks that, you know, it might have been 18, 20 years they had been refreshed. So it's pretty exciting now for our teachers to have, you know, with all of these wonderful curricular materials that have been purchased. I say that the pandemic, there's not much that I'm fond of about it, but the pandemic did enable us to go one-to-one with technology with our students.
Yes.
All of the curricular materials and all the curriculum companies have created fabulous online platforms along with, you know, the hard copies of materials, which really create some wonderful learning opportunities for our students and for our teachers to engage our students. So, there's been some positives as far as, you know, those kinds of things. Having technology in our kids' hands, these one-to-one, you know, devices is amazing. It provides us, you know, opportunities to speak with parents at home via, you know, Zoom or Teams platforms. So students have individualized pathways in a lot of the different curriculums. So that allows them to, you know, work on exactly what they need to be working on. If there's some skill needs, the students can do that. If students are ahead, it provides enrichment. So it's really been an exciting time. But I'll tell you, for our teachers, it's also been a really challenging time with lots and lots of learning. And we're so fortunate to have such dedicated teachers and dedicated administrators and the central administration that supports our schools, that they're all delving into this learning, really working hard, because materials alone aren't making the difference.
Right.
It's the magic that the materials and a really great teacher with a really great principal supporting have, you know, on the system overall.
I think it's would be good to ask about, you know, the teachers just passed, we just negotiated a new contract, and we hope that it will make Erie more attractive to teachers that are coming out of university. What's your sense on that? Are we going to be more competitive in the city school district?
Sure. I think, you know, it's a challenging time across our country right now.
Yeah.
You know, with folks going into teaching and then staying within the profession, I think it was an enormous move forward that our board supported. Making sure that our teachers have a competitive salary, because we get fabulous teachers and we want them to stay within our system and not feel inclined to move on because the salary is lower. So I think it will make a difference, but I think at, you know, on a national level, I think the way that, you know, the community embraces the educators in their community, I think the support teachers get, and I think ongoing, as we start to look right at our country and everything else that's going, when we look at the price of college education and we think of what starting teacher salaries are, there's a little bit of a disconnect there in our country.
I've got just a minute with Karen here, and what now, how do we convert this to the kinds of numbers that you want to see at the evaluation level, at the PSATs and so on, the PSSAs and the Keystones? What's that going to take?
Sure. So in Erie's public schools, we're committed to cycles of school improvement. So our teams, our school teams, our district teams work on continuous cycles of school improvement. So we are always kind of looking at, what does our data tell us? How do we plan and create action plans to address that data? How are we going to monitor the progress of what's happening? Then how do we continue or shift direction based on what the data says? And we just continue that cycle. So we're very committed to, cycles of improvement here.
And the story is still being written. I really appreciate it. Karen Ryan, the Director of Educational Services at Erie's Public Schools, thank you so much for taking the time.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You've been listening to The Joel Natale Show, Erie, Pennsylvania's daily podcast from TalkErie.com. Subscribe to our show on your favorite podcatcher and get involved by emailing joel@TalkErie.com.